Welcome to Dentistry for the New Millennium. I'm Marty Klein, Training Manager at the Institute for Advanced Laser Dentistry. My guest today is Dr. Jonathan Tiger, a periodontist in Pomona, New York. Dr. Tiger earned his dental degree at the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey, now Rutgers University, and his periodontal training at Nova Southeastern University. He earned diplomate status with the American Academy of Periodontology and serves as a certified instructor with us at the IALD, as well as a clinical assistant professor of dental medicine at Touro College of Dental Medicine. Dr. Tiger, thank you for being my guest today.
My pleasure, Marty. Happy to speak with you.
So this podcast is coming out in February, which is Gum Disease Awareness Month. And you are a periodontist, a specialist in the mouth, and I'd like to ask you to talk a little bit about your view on the role of oral health as it pertains to overall wellness.
That's a great point, Marty, and definitely one of the things that attracted me to use the laser in the first place was the connection between oral health and systemic disease. And as more and more research comes out all the time, connecting diabetes and heart disease and arthritis and all sorts of connections that we have to the oral environment, I was definitely looking for something that was going to give me a more effective bacterial cleanse in the mouth. And as good a job as we were able to do, you know, cleaning with old school flaps and cleanouts, as we used to do in garden variety classical periodontics, one of the things that attracted me to using a laser was the depth of the kill of bacteria that we were able to obtain with the laser. So, and the more bacteria we kill, obviously we're able to hopefully affect the systemic condition as well. So that was definitely one of the things that heightened my interest in the laser in the first place.
The conversation about overall wellness and gum disease, is that something that you need to speak with about patients on a regular basis? How well do they understand that?
Depends on the patient, but definitely a lot of patients do come in having heard things from friends or on the news or on the internet, things that they're concerned about. And they definitely want to, it's definitely a big driver of treatment, more than it was when I first started treating periodontal disease back in my early days when I finished my residency program. People are definitely more aware of what's going on in their mouth now than they were back then.
Why do you think that is? Why are patients now more aware of that, do you think?
I think it's just based on the availability of knowledge to them. You know, before, I was just talking about this with my family yesterday or the other day about how people just know more things now because they have access to more information. Obviously, it's good and bad. Sometimes they come in and they think they know more than you, and their Dr. Google search allows them to tell you what's what. But at the end of the day, the fact is that they're stimulated to know. And you know, an educated patient is not necessarily a bad patient as long as you can educate them in the right way and make sure that the information that you're giving them and that they're using is proper information.
Well, if anyone listening here would like more information on Gum Disease Awareness Month, I invite them to go to fightgumdisease.com or on Facebook at Fight Gum Disease. You can find a whole page there with lots of information. I want to get back to your story, Dr. Tiger, and how you found Lanap and then kind of going back to the beginning of how it first came onto your radar. What had you heard about Lanap prior to deciding to come to training? And then what was it that made you want to get trained yourself?
Interestingly, you know, I'm definitely a late bloomer when it comes to technology. I'm young, but I'm like an old school young guy. And I definitely was not very aware of what was going on out there when I first was introduced to the laser. And it was really just a simple knock on the door of a rep. He really just was very persistent in a good way about how he was trying to bring this technology into my office and how it would help my patients and help my practice. And it took him pretty sure 12 to 15 months of him coming around to finally convince me that it was that it was the right thing for my practice and it was time for me to take the plunge, and I did take the plunge.
So Anthony is a sales rep. Now I would assume, and maybe I'm wrong here, that you also did some of your own due diligence rather than just Anthony's persistence. Did you have to?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, but you know, in the beginning, you know, it was just a rep telling me things like you said, but you know, when someone keeps telling you something, eventually you kind of look into it yourself. And definitely I started to do research online about different types of lasers. And again, I really had no experience with lasers. So I didn't even, you know, I knew you could do little, you know, frenectomies and you can maybe help take impressions by cauterizing some tissue with a laser, but I really didn't know at all what that meant and what the function of the laser itself was or how it worked. I really didn't know that at all.
What is something that you wish that you did know about the capabilities of lasers at that point that might have helped you understand it better that you learned in training?
At that time, I just would have been nice to know that it's something that you can use as a regular modality to treat periodontal disease. You know, when you go through your periodontal training, you're pretty much shown whatever it is that your instructors show you and what they know and what they learned and what they're, you know, willing to pass along to you. But to see that there's, you know, other ways to treat periodontal disease would have been, for me, obviously as a periodontist, would have been amazing at that time.
Well, today, periodontal postgraduate residents at Rutgers, your alma mater, for your dental degree anyway, are getting that. So maybe you're a little bit of a wish come true then.
That's right. That's right. I guess at the time, I mean, it wouldn't have helped me because I didn't go there for postgraduate training. But yeah, it's really great that the new generation of periodontists are having at least the ability to decide if they want to use this modality. You know, it's if they choose not to, that's their decision. You know, my opinion, obviously not a great decision, but it's nice to have different options. You know, as we learn in training, you know, let's say eye surgery was done a different way back then, but everyone knows now you can have LASIK and you can do all sorts of eye corrections with a laser that are better. You know, as things evolve and technology changes, why not embrace what's good and what's able to help all your patients?
Well, certainly LASIK is a well understood household term. I've seen, and many clinicians have seen, LANAP being more and more understood, or at least on the radar of more patients. Do you see it going that way as well? Could LANAP become a well understood term in the future by all patients?
It's definitely a possibility. I can tell you for sure in my experience in my practice, I've definitely had a large percentage of patients that have come in strictly because they want LANAP. They don't even know necessarily. They know what it means, obviously, because of the research that they did. They don't know fully what it means, but they know that either they've had classic periodontal surgery before or other types of periodontal surgery before, and they've been told that they need treatment to continue again because they've had a relapse of their gum disease, and they're not willing to go through that iteration of treatment again. They basically use the words, "I am not doing that again." So at that point, they've done their research and they're coming to me and asking me for it. I don't even have to sell it to them. It's something that they want, and they want to see what I can do for them in that realm.
Well, you first came to LANAP training in 2013, so seven, almost 8 years ago. Can you tell me a little more about how the clinical results have looked in your practice over time since you first came out of training and all the way through to today?
Sure. In the beginning, as with any new thing that you do, you're nervous about it because, you know, you're convinced that it's going to work, but you still haven't done it yet. And then you get the patients to come in and do it, and then you have to wait to see the results. The initial results are fabulous. The patients are usually very comfortable after the procedure, and the way that the tissue responds to the laser is excellent. But then you still have to wait 6-12 months for bone regeneration and things like that. But as the time goes on and the cases keep piling up, you keep seeing, you know, improvements that you wouldn't necessarily believe were possible before you trained and saw the science behind it and how it works and that it actually makes a whole lot of sense. I have patients that are young that needed it, patients that are older that needed it, and you know, there's no differentiation. It's good for any patient who has periodontal disease or peri-implant disease. If they need treatment for that, this is a good modality for it, and it gives them other options.
Have you tracked at all some of those earlier patients or patients that you originally treated 6-7 years ago? Are they on the whole, are they still doing pretty well?
Absolutely. For sure they are. There's definitely patients that I treated in my infant stages of coming out of training that I'm still treating, because as periodontists, we see patients every 3, 4, 6 months, depending on, you know, on the patient. And that's great because we're able to follow those patients along the way and see their results. I just had a lady, one of my first patients that I ever treated with the laser, was actually a dentist's wife. And she had a tooth number 30 that looked just really terrible on the x-ray. And I didn't even necessarily I wasn't like running to treat it, but she did not want to extract the tooth. So we did it and we treated it with the laser. And I'm pretty sure that was literally one of my first cases. And 8 years later, it happens to be that we just had to remove the tooth now for a different reason, not related to bone loss. It was more of an endo problem, but we gave her 8 more years on that tooth that I would bet if I showed most people the radiograph of that, what it looked like 8 years ago, they would say there's no way that tooth is going to be there 8 years later. So, you know, I definitely have quote unquote long-term results, at least for me. My longest possible term is 8 years, because that's how long I've had it for. So mm-hmm. I definitely have patients that have had that.
Now, have you used your Periolase MVP7 for procedures other than LINAP over the years? And if so, what have they been and what kind of results do you see?
I use it for phrenectomies. I use it for, and that was great. I just did actually last week on an 8-year-old boy. He was tongue-tied, so his lingual frenum needed to be excised. And for that patient, I mean, this was perfect. You know, a little bit of anesthetic, a couple of seconds with the laser and done. No blade, no stitching. I mean, and it was really great for him. So it certainly has the indications there. And I've definitely used it with my hygienist in conjunction with maintenance for pocket disinfection. You know, as we talked about before, the depth of the penetration of the light energy that you can get and the bacterial kill that you can get with the lasers, it helps with that. And patients who have persistent pockets, 5 millimeters with some bleeding, you know, we find that we do this laser treatment for them during their maintenance therapy. And the next time they come back, they've resolved that pocket and the bleeding is gone. So I've used it for that, you know, as a periodontist, I'm not necessarily going to use it for all the other indications that you have in terms of restorative things that it can be used for, but all the periodontal applications I've used it for: extraction sockets to get hemostasis, to contain bone graft material. It has a plethora of applications that you wouldn't necessarily think about when you're looking at it initially, but as you go through it and you see that there's all sorts of other, you know, cool things that you can really do with it, it's great.
How about around implants? Have you tried it for LIPIP, peri-implantitis procedure?
Sure. I've always said implants are great until they're not, which as we go further and further into the implant universe with years of more experience, you know, we see that there are just problems that develop. And the idea of opening a flap around an implant and trying to detoxify an implant surface and get full degranulation of the area to remove all the infected tissue is just not a very fun thought. So this modality of being able to do it and hopefully use that, the power of that inflamed tissue with the growth factors that are present there, try to turn it back in our favor is a much better, at least in my hands, is a much better way to try to help peri-implant disease. And, you know, I've had some good results with it.
Excellent. Well, I will wrap this up there. I want to thank you for your service to us as an IALD instructor, as well as everything you do in your own practice to fight gum disease, so to speak. I do want to give a plug to your practice website. If anyone else would like to learn more about you, that is tigerperiodonticsandimplants.com. If you're listening to this podcast and you have not subscribed, please do, or go to linap.com/podcast. All of our previous episodes can be listened to there. Dr. Tiger, thank you again for being my guest today and sharing your experience with us.
Thank you, Marty, for having me, and I look forward to seeing you at a training event at some point in the future.